The Lord be with you.
And also
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard the commandment, you shall love your countrymen, but hate your enemy. My command to you is love your enemies. Pray for your persecutors. This will prove that you are sons of your heavenly Father. For your Son rises on the bad and the good. He reigns on the just and the unjust. If you love those who love you, what merit is there in that? Do not tax collectors do as much? And if you greet your brothers only, what is so praiseworthy about that? Do not pagans do as much? In a word, you must be perfected as your heavenly Father is perfect." This is the gospel of the Lord. What we have just read is part of our Christ's Sermon on the Mount. Through three chapters, the 5th, 6th, and 7th chapters of Matthew's Gospel, our Lord compares the Old Testament morality with the New. He goes to the commandments. "You have heard it was said, but I tell you." "You have heard it was said, but I tell you." Whatever else is true about Christianity, it is that the moral demands of the followers of Christ are much harder. They require much more of us than was ever required of the people in the old law. But if there is one commandment that Christ raised to superhuman heights, it was the commandment of loving our neighbor. In the Old Testament, the Jews were told to love their neighbor. Well, the neighbor meant one of their own fellow Israelites. Well, the neighbor meant someone who was related to you by kinship of blood. Well, the neighbor is one who was close to you, intimate with you. But Christ's teaching is superhumanly higher. We never give a thought, pardon me, a second thought, to the fact that in all the languages of the world, including English, we speak of some people as being lovable and other people being unlovable. Obviously, lovable people are those whom we can love. Unlovable people are those whom we cannot love. This, in one sentence, is the heart of Christian morality. We are told to love unlovable people. Say that again. We are told by Christ to love unlovable people. You want lovable people. Oh, that's easy. Those who don't love us, those who are not kind to us, thoughtful of us, who are unlovable people, those who offend us, those who speak unkindly to us and about us. Who are the unlovable people? All those people who accept for God's becoming man and dying on the cross and meriting for us the grace to do the humanly impossible. He could not love. They are the unlovable people. But that, in one declarative sentence, is the essence of Christianity. Loving the unlovable. We are living in the most convulsive age in human history. We are living in an age, our century, when there have been more martyrs for Christ than in all the 1900 years from Calvary put together. Yet, as deeply and as terrifyingly as our faith is being challenged, let's make sure we know what Christianity really is. Of course, we must believe. We must be Orthodox believers. We must believe that Christ is the living God who became man. We must believe that His mother is the mother of God. We must believe that Jesus Christ is on earth in the Holy Eucharist. We must believe that the Bishop of Rome is the Vicar of Christ. We call that orthodoxy. But I want to be very plain. Orthodoxy is not enough. One of my favorite phrases is, orthodoxy without charity is not Christianity. In other words, we must have, dear God, a strong, dare I say it, a heroic faith in our day. When bishops are openly in print declaring, I am the Vicar of Christ. We better have a strong faith. But faith, otherwise known as orthodoxy, is not enough. It must be faith joined with selfless charity. And that, my friends, that is what will convert, and I hope you agree with me, a paganized America. Once a Christian nation, millions have lost their faith in Jesus Christ. But if we're going to retrieve these lost Christians, some sadly, members of our own family, people who are nearest and dearer to us. We must not only believe strongly, we must love selflessly and love the very ones who don't love us. It is then faith combined with Christ-like charity that will convert, and how our country needs reconversion, beginning with the two capitals of paganism in America. You may be surprised. They are Chicago and Detroit. Lord Jesus, make us channels of your grace to others. Deepen our faith in you as our God, our trust in you as the source of all the strength we need in today's unbelieving world. But above all, dear Jesus, give us something of your selfless love, so that like you, we too may be willing to lay down our lives for those who do not love us, because in loving them, we will be communicating grace from you through us to them. Because, dear Jesus, only faith and love can convert a sinful world. Jesus, we love you. Out of love for you, we want to love those who do not love us, because in loving them, we are showing how deeply we love you who died on Calvary out of love for us. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Holy Father God, may give him the strength to proclaim the crucified Christ to a self-loving world. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
hear our prayer. For bishops in the Catholic Church, that they may be faithful servants of the vicar of Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
hear our prayer. For priests and religious, that we may be faithful to our commitment to Jesus Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
hear our prayer. For all families, that they may be modeled on the Holy Family, loving one another, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for all the people of the city of Detroit, that they may rediscover Jesus Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for our own personal intentions. Lord, grant that what we ask for in faith, we may obtain through the merits of your Mother, the Mother of God and our Mother. This we ask through Christ our Lord.